How good it is to be in a place where the Lord is present. Be sad to be in a place like this and so many people and the Lord not be with us, wouldn't it? But thank the Lord. His good presence is here. We thank the Lord for his presence in the singing. He certainly blessed you in singing tonight, and he was edified, I think, through the songs you were singing. And it was a blessing to the hearts and uplifting and building the melody of the heart. And we thank the Lord once again for the privilege to be with you and with our precious brothers and sisters that are here to worship the Lord. And I hope that we can all just set our minds upon the Lord and put our feet in under his table and dine with him as he would have us to do tonight. You know, it's nothing no better than to have a good meal with the Lord. We all need it, do we not? In this day that we live in, I just don't know of that I've ever had a greater burden to hit my heart than I have this weekend. And I was at a place called Walmart, and I saw people just pushing and shoving. No time for other people. And I thought, I'd just like to have a place somewhere that I could just go and sit down and weep for my nation. I tell you, folks, we're in a bad shape. We're in a bad shape. People's lost sight of one another, lost respect for one another. We're all downhill in our nation. I never thought that I'd live to see our nation in the shape that it's in. And brother, sister, it's time that we be wide awake that the devil is really having a heyday. And we certainly need to be awake and alert and doing what we can for God. I asked your prayers. I need your prayers. In the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, I want to go to the teachings of the Lord. In the 46th verse, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will shew you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and diggeth deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat violently upon that house, and it would not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation build a house upon the earth, again which the streams did beat violently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." I want to ask you the question tonight, where are you building? It's important where you build. It's important how you build. It's important that you take and consider the cost of what you're building. That what you start, that you be able to finish what you're building. And know for sure that while we're building, that we have found a true foundation to build on. And that our location is where that it needs to be, why that we're building. We know if natural life, we don't just place a house just anywhere. We want a house where that it will be safe and secure and a good location and a beautiful setting where we set the house. Well, there's a place that's beautiful, and there's a place that's safe, and there's a place that we can be secure where we build and where we build our house. It's good to know tonight that we have a good carpenter. Luke or Mark, the sixth chapter and the third verse tells us Jesus is a carpenter. And so Psalms, the 127th chapter, I want to turn there for a verse or so. Except the Lord build the house, the labor is vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and set up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It's good to know that Jesus is the qualifier of what we build with, and that he is the instructor as to how the house is put together as we build with the Lord. You see, he instructed Moses, and Moses instructed Aaron, and they built the temple as God wanted it built. And so Sodom was instructed of the Lord had to build a tabernacle, and it was built according to the blueprint of God. We must build according to the blueprint that the master builder gives us to build by. He qualifies the material that goes in the house. And so we need him to help us to build. I want to point out to us in Hebrew, the third chapter, that Christ said here in this chapter, in the fourth verse, for every house is built by some man, but he that buildeth all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant of a testimony of the things which were spoken after her. But Christ, a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You see, we are building a house, or Christ is building a house, and we are his house. And so we have to be careful and know for sure that we are going according to his blueprint in building with him. That we have a house that God is over and that he will be willing to live in. You see, God wants to live with us and us to be his house that he lives in. And so we got to build according to that blueprint that God has given us. And so the word of the Lord is the blueprint. We've got to build according to the word of God. the Word of God will qualify what is to fit to go into this house of God. Thank the Lord. Not just any knotty plank will fit in this house. Some people are trying to build, and they build without a foundation. They build on the sand. Their hope is a faint. But thanks God tonight, we can know what the foundation of the house is, and we can know how that material is to be fit into the house of God. And so we want to look into the blueprint tonight as God qualifies the material for the building. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the Apostle Paul came to Athens. What a mess. What a mess it was at Athens. All kinds of people had gathered in, and some wanted to build on Paul. Some wanted to build on Apollos, and some maybe even trying out Cephas. But God has said in Isaiah, the 2nd chapter, and the last verse, cease from man whose breath is in his nostril. You see, uncle and aunt and sir is not going to take us to heaven. We've got to find the one that wants to build and fix us to go to heaven with him. You see, tonight, we can't build on man. We've got to build on God. And there's too much of this in our world today of people preacher-eyed. And brother, when you get preacher-eyed, you get a preacher's religion. We need more than a preacher's religion. We need old-time, heartfelt salvation of God. And so Jesus, using the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul approaches them in the 9th verse, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband. Ye are God's building. You see, Paul approached them in a way to remind them, look beyond yourself. Look beyond mankind. Look into that which God has set before you, because you are building. Isaiah, the 66th chapter, tells us that we're building a house and not another inherited. And a child wouldn't die at 100 years. And that child in Revelation, the 12th chapter, is the seed of the church, meaning that if we will build with God, that he will see to it that we have a full life, a life that is rich and full with Jesus Christ, because we're building with him and he lives with us and we're his house. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so he said this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. It's serious as to how that we look into the Word, and how that we draw from the Word, and how that we pull the material to our heart and place it with us, that and know for sure that God is doing that in building this house. In Isaiah, the 44th chapter and the 13th verse, the carpenter stretches out his room. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with a line. He fitteth it with the plank. He maketh it out with the compass and marketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. God measures what goes in this house. How does he measure it? Measure it with the word of God. You see, we all have the measuring line put upon us. God measures you. God measures me. And we've got to fit according to the measure that God has put on us as he measures us. Why? He wants to fit us in our proper place in the house of God. For he said in 1 Corinthians 12:18, God set the members in the body as it pleases him. You see, he knows where every stone must fit in the building. For he is that cornerstone in Ephesians 2:20. And every stone that is put into the building has to start with the cornerstone and with the measure and fit in line and the plumb line that is drawn upon every stone that is put into the building. Thank God tonight for the plumbing line that plumbs every soul and puts you in your proper place in the building of God. Thank the Lord. We should all be willing to find our proper place in the building of God, should we not? And he said, according to the grace. I read that one, did I not? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of the great church of God. Now there were sand builders. In Ezekiel, the 13th chapter, Jesus talked about them that build. And he said they may build, but they didn't use the right cement. Whenever the old scourging passed through, the walls would fall. What we put together, we want to make sure that the Holy Ghost is putting it together. But here, we want to know for sure that the foundation that will stand the flood, that is coming again the house, and the storm that beat upon the house. We want to understand that we are willing to pay the cost, because we found the foundation to stand on when the storm is raging, whenever the battle is hot, that we found a foundation that is firm, that is not going to be on the sand, but standing on holy ground with the Son of God. So we find the foundation is Jesus Christ. Sand builders. In Acts is the 4th chapter. Jesus said, he's that stone that you people rejected. You wouldn't have him. There's people that are sand builders tonight. Got no foundation. They're on the sand. And when the storm comes, when the wind blows, their house turns to be a ruin. You see, we want to make sure whenever people's testing us, trying us, and the flood of people that come again, the great church of the living God, we know that we have a foundation that God has laid in the house of God, that we are standing on a foundation regardless of what the flood is or the storm is, that thank God we've got a safe home in that rock and on that rock, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where we need to stand, is it not? Stand on that solid rock with Jesus Christ. Oh yes, Pharisees couldn't stand it. In Matthew 21, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken, about 42, whenever Jesus told them, if you fall on this stone, it'll break you to pieces. But if this stone falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. So we know we've got a sure foundation with Jesus Christ. You see, in Jeremiah, the 46th chapter and the 7th verse of that chapter, Jeremiah was warning the people about a flood that would come against them, which was Egypt, to test and to try. In the 47th chapter and the 2nd verse, he called Egypt a flood. And in Daniel's the 9th chapter, he said Jerusalem was cut off with a flood. Jesus here was telling this people, you'd better build, and you'd better build on a foundation. You'd better make your house sure. There's a flood coming your way. I want to say to this audience tonight, every person in here tonight, God's going to see, and the devil's going to test you. He's going to try you, and you're going to have your ups and your downs, and you need to know that the devil is a wild, evil spirit in this world today, and you need to be on the solid rock, a solid foundation, where you know for sure, I'm at home with God. Let come and go what may, I can stand the storm with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe it was Job of old who said, let come what may. So he was ready. We can be ready. Whatever comes, and I assure you, in this evil day you and I living in, our nation in the shape it's in, people killing as they're killing in this day, 411 Jews were shot, 52 were wounded, just to walk in and shoot people that had never done a thing to them. And brother, down in our home, man stuck a gun in the back of his father-in-law's head, blowed his head away, riding in the back of the car, not expecting anything. But you see, we're in an evil day, and we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we can know that who holds tomorrow, and we can stand on a firm foundation, thank God, of whatever storm is coming our way. We want a house, thank God, that'll stand the storm, and you can have that house tonight if you follow the blueprint of Jesus Christ. So Paul wanted to make sure that this people understood. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed afar, and the far shall try every man's works of what sort it is. Preaching tries people. Teaching tries people. The Word of God tries our experience. You see, whenever you sit in the pews, that's why a lot of times we have empty pews. People don't want their experience tried. They don't want to be tested with the Word of God. Some are afraid to get under the Holy Ghost preaching. They're scared of the fire. Brother, sister, we need a house that will stand the fire. Did you know Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego had a house that they had built with God? And whenever they was put in the fire wouldn't burn them. And the old king got up and said, "Would you put three in there?" They said, "Three, old king." He said, "I see the fourth one." And he said, "He looks like the Son of God." You see, he had a foundation. He had material. And he stood in the fire, midst of the trial, midst of the test. And brother, sister, as sure as you're who you are, the Word of God not only going to permit us, God will permit us to be tried and tested as sure as you who you are, because He wants to know that you know yourself, that you have found a true and a living God, that you love Him and adore Him, and that you're willing to stay with Him in the time of a storm. I've heard people say, "Surely God won't let me go through this. He won't let me go through that." You look back at what He let His prophets go through. He permitted that. Did He not? I've heard people think, well, I hear them say, "Where was God when all of this was going on?" God sometimes steps back and let you be tried. Do you know Job was tried for God's glory and for God's honor? Job's test has helped a lot of us along life's way, right? And so God tested us. He tested us in many ways, as sure as you who you are. So you need to find the material and build on that foundation. So Paul here was telling them, "You be tried and tried before." These people down there, some was down in Babylon in confusion, in divisions. John the Baptist introduced Jesus and the Holy Ghost as fire. And whenever that people are brought to the truth, sometimes when you're putting truth on people, they begin to feel some heat, some fire. They want to back away. You'll never be building material until you settle the fact that I can stand the heat. Amen. I used to hear them say, "If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen." But I believe, brother, we need to come to the place where we can stand afar whenever we're being tried and tested, and when the Word of God is put on us and hits a test in us as a faith, and what our faith is in Jesus Christ, we want to be sure that we can stand the heat.
Amen. True.
The heat will try us. The fire will try us. There were those that need to be tried in that day. And Paul said, "If any man's works abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall be rewarded." It's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that what we're building, that God is pleased with it and is blessing us because we're where He wants us to be. We can rejoice when truth is coming down. That's a reward from God. You believe that? That's a reward from God. That He's blessing you because you love Him. And you love the truth. And so He's trying us. If any man's works abide, if any man's work shall burn, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. The denominational world says that if you one time save, you'll never be lost. That's sand builders. That's people who've got no foundation. God is not a sinner. He's not righteous and sinner all at the same time. God is holy. God is pure. God is upright and He's clean. He doesn't have nothing to do with sin. He came here to die and to redeem us from sin, not in sin. People that come to know him no longer can say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You quit the sinning business when never God moved in and the devil moved out and God moved in and sin ended. And brother, sister, you no longer an old sinner saved by grace. What did he mean when he said the works be burned? There's people in Paul's day, as they are today, been down in Babylon, in confusion, tossed to and fro. The wind has carried them here, carried them there, and they maybe have helped build down there. And they build this and they build that, and they thought for sure they were doing what was right. But whenever the test came and the fire was put on, everything through hearing from God, he burned it. They suffered loss. And if they have an honest spirit, they're saved, they'll come to truth. Amen? Every person that's honest in their soul, whenever the truth falls on them and burns their material, they will take their stand with the truth of God. And in on the foundation will God plant them. You see, because they've had an honest heart, an honest spirit, they repent and say, oh God, I didn't know I was in the wrong place. I was in the wrong thing. But no sooner than truth enlightened them and the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, they said, goodbye, Babylon. I'm gone home to the church of God. Dear old brother over in North Carolina, he's real brave one night. He just got real bold with everybody. He said, brethren, there's about five or six preachers there. He said, come up here. They came up. And I said, brothers, will you all agree that I should only recognize what's in this book? And they said, yes. He said, are you Church of God? And they said, no, I'm Baptist. He said, sit down. I can't recognize you. He said to the next one, are you Church of God? He said, no, I'll go to the Methodist. He said, sit down. I can't recognize you. That ain't in the book. He come to another and said, what are you? He said, I'm Presbyterian. He said, sit down. He said, it ain't in the book. He come to another and he said, what are you? He said, I was down there, but right now I'm coming out. He seen what happened to all them others. And he said, I'm getting out of here now. And everybody turned and went into a shout. You see, holy boldness pays off. Paul down here in Corinth, where there was a mess and where there was confusion, Paul was in love with God. He was in love with souls. God loved these people, but he had a man here that wanted to help them see the truth of God. We're not mad at nobody, trying to hurt nobody. We want people to know the truth. We want them to go to heaven. And folks, if you go to heaven, you got to build on God. You got to build on truth tonight. The truth is the only way to get to God's heaven. They may be some honest people. And I said to people, when you come out and when you hear the truth, don't run back and go to unchristian dad and unchristian mama and everybody else. That's not our attitude. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Try your best to get them where the preaching is. Try to get them where they can hear the word of God. And then whenever they sit down and they hear, I've heard people say, oh, them people, and make fun of them people back there. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people back there that didn't see what you and I see, right? And so we must leave them where they're at. But we in this even light must walk up to the truth we see today and preach His truth as truth is today and help them people that don't see what you and I see and help them to build on the foundation that God is tonight and have a building that will stand the storm when the storms are raging. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love people and enjoy one another as we go along. Let me just help us here just a little bit. The Apostle Paul run into a lot of things as he traveled along in his journey of life, as a lot of us do. He said in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 4th verse, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mysteries of Christ, which in other age, now get this, which in other age was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You see, there were those, though they'd been at Pentecost, they didn't understand. And whenever you read the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, even Peter, chief spokesman on the day of Pentecost, whenever he was still misunderstanding about the Gentile, he's up on the housetop. God had to let a sheet down to teach that man. And showed him. And after he'd went down to the Gentile, and the Gentile got straightened out, and yet whenever he came back, they pulled him up into a business meeting. And it seemed like they had understood, but they didn't understand. Those that on the day of Pentecost, when the dialect went to all of those nations on that day, that Christ is now the high priest. You see, there were those in other ages that didn't understand, but now truth is coming, light is coming, and Paul's laying out truth and bringing in the truth to people. You must accept the Gentile. You must accept the people. And brother, whenever that he was laying out truth, he wanted them to see Jesus Christ is the one you must build on. And Paul got in the book of Galatians, and Peter was causing confusion, was he not? And so Paul had to withstand him to his face. And so he got some people helped and straightened out. But he didn't go and un-Christianize them. He just wanted them to see the great truth of God. Sometimes we think that people ought to just automatically see what we see. I've worked with people for years and they didn't see it. And all of a sudden, they open up and said, I see it, I see it. Thank God when truth comes, it brings a fellowship. It brings a unity. Oh, it brings a peace. It tears down walls. It moves in. And when it moves in on hearts, people can rejoice in fellowship together, building for the Lord and working together in the great family of God. How good it is to build. Hebrews 8th chapter. Paul was teaching them Jews. He said, Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You see, science could never do what Jesus done to you, nor me. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, when you come to be his temple and the Holy Ghost move within you, there's nothing in this world can make you as free and feel as good in your heart as the Spirit of God that moved on the inside of you and set you in with the Lord and set you in with your brother and your sister in the family of God. And then remembering in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that you are bought with a price. That price that was paid on the cross of Calvary with thorns, with nails, with a sword, with spikes in his feet. Thank God he paid a price that he could redeem us and set us free, and we can be the house of God, the great temple of God, and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen. I want to jump out right here. There's a whole lot more here to be brought out and built into the church of God. But I want to say to you to hear tonight, if you're not sure, if you're not real sure that you are building on that foundation, it's my advice that you take a walk toward Jesus tonight. Bow in his presence. Seek his face. And let him help you and instruct you. He's a good God. He loves us. He loves us deeper than any love that I've ever known. You see, of all the whipping that Jesus took, the beating that he and smote into his face, and they put him on the cross and despised him and rejected him. Yet, when he went to die, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about what a love that is. Think about how deep that is. He wants to help us tonight. And if you're not sure where you stand tonight, of the place that you've got, why not be sure? Just make a trip down here tonight. Pray and talk to God. Seek counseling if you have to. It's good to know we have found that true foundation and that we're building on Jesus Christ. God bless you.